For today, highs of 13 degrees centigrade, lows of 6 degrees centigrade. It's going to be a mainly dry day with warm, sunny spells.
Live from Gibraltar, with or without her faithful friend Frodo, it's time for Gabriella Peralta on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Hurrah, hurrah, and hurrah.
Yeah, today again. Without Frodo.
Without Frodo.
Well, he's that far away from me because he's got woken up. He was woken up by the phone ringing.
Yeah.
Well, so he's moved away from me.
I mean, honestly, when your media commitments and the producers phone you up 10 minutes before the show to sort out a few bits and pieces about life and times and various other factors, prepping you for an event that may never take place because it is our birthday show. Happy birthday to Your Majesty. Happy birthday, Your Majesty. Let's say that, now. So, sorry, I thought I was referring to Mary Dancy there. I don't know, late birthday special, doesn't even turn up. Unbelievable.
It's appalling.
It's quite, people drilled into all sorts of things there. However, Hannah and Claire are actually here. And as ever, what is the weather like in Gibraltar?
The weather, to be honest, we've had 2 days of non-stop rain and thunderstorms and all the rest, but today it's cleared up. So I think it's about 18 degrees today, so it's not too bad.
Well, Gabriella, you know why it's cleared up, don't you?
Because it's the Queen's birthday.
Exactly. Yeah. And, of course, it's a Midweek Drive Morning Edition day, and clearly beaming that across the ocean has positive effects in
everything.
Rays every
of sense. Happiness.
Yeah, it does, of course. Last night, major shock because, actually it wasn't so much a major shock, but we were having a chat, as ever, with our Jersey correspondent, Anna Lewis, and she was astounded that Jersey is in Europe's top 10 islands. Ahead of Capri.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. She said, I don't know what's going to be. Somebody's been bribing the judges, she's been saying. Yeah. I've got a lot of offshore bank accounts in Jersey, but we won't go there at this particular time in the morning. And then I obviously thought, okay, well, let's talk a bit about that. And let's say Gibraltar, because Claire, do you view Gibraltar as an island?
I think so. Geography isn't my strong point, you see.
Well,
But yeah, I think so. I think if you want to be an island, you can be an island, you know? Reclaim.
But no human being is an island, surely.
Well, you could be,
you
metaphorically.
Think so? Yep.
Yeah.
So
we'll could try hard
enough. We'll be to T.S. Eliot and the Wasteland. Hannah, would you see Jersey as... Jersey obviously is classified as an island. It's in the top 10 list. We'll go through the full sort of winners shortly. But do you see Gibraltar as an island?
Up to this point, I've always considered it as an island.
Yeah. Latest arrival, Tessa Snart. Gibraltar, do you see it as an island or not an island?
I think an island.
Yeah. Well, this is my thought, and that's why I thought, well, the heck with waking up Frodo. I'll phone up Gabriella before the show actually starts in good time and actually put that to her. But apparently, Gabriella, you're not an island.
No. A lot of people do think we're an island. But
the four of us clearly said, definitely. But no.
We are attached to Spain. So we'll probably be happy as an island.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we're not. So we've got our border with Spain, which means that even though probably about 3/4 of Gibraltar is surrounded by water, there is a part of Gibraltar that is connected to Spain.
Which, of course, is where the border disputes come in. Here was I thinking, when you did your dissertation all those years ago for me, I thought, well, why don't they just actually sort of, put a boat around the whole thing, water, flood that particular area? Clearly, it's because it's not an island. It's still a part of Spain. Yeah. Well, you should set Jessica Ward on the case, really. She is moving further south from Madrid, I believe, so she could actually
She should just sort all this out.
Well, I would have thought so. I mean, if you've got to sort out whether or not Gibraltar... I mean, you've already heard it there from Gabriella. She'd prefer it if Gibraltar was an island.
Yeah.
So she's gone public on that thing. So, accordingly, I think we'll get a New Zealander in to sort the whole thing.
Definitely.
Right, OK, moving on. Why should people go to see Gibraltar? Because the top island in the world apparently is Maui in Hawaii.
Okay.
Santorini in the Cyclades is number one in terms of Europe. Then we've got the Balearic Islands and Mallorca, Madeira, Crete, Tenerife, Rhodes, Gran Canaria, Corsica, Jersey, and then the Isle of Capri in terms of the top 10 list. Tessa was one of the kind of revolutionaries last night on the midweek drive. In fact, she's the only one who survived to come back the day after. No one knows what can happen. That's because, Tessa, as was pointed out, you were like everybody's favourite mum, basically, organising the voting, saying, let's do this, but let's put it out. Oh, Claire doesn't know what she missed. It's like that.
Fiona wasn't having any of it. She's the tough cookie. Oh. The scoring.
Yeah, very nice. She wanted the point systems. She did. Yeah, still. However, you were also one of the key sort of leaders to say, we need to go to Hawaii for a location report.
Yes, I think that'd be great. Hmm. Especially if it's in the top 10 or whatever.
Well, yeah, that's world. Yes,
that's in the world.
Yes,
oh,
yes,
okay.
That's mostly Europe. Okay. So we can find that. Oh, well, let's start step by step, because obviously, yeah, we'll do Jersey. Why should people come and visit Gibraltar, Gabriella?
Well, I think Hawaii is quite a difficult island to beat. But we have a lot of history, which I know sounds a bit boring, but Gibraltar has, you know, through the hundreds and hundreds of years been taken over. We've been under Moorish rule, Spanish rule, now British rule. So we have remnants of each kind of era. So we have a Moorish castle, which actually will be lit up tonight for the Queen's 90th. We light it up for special occasions. So we have the Moorish castle. We have Actually, it's an interesting fact of Gibraltar. We're 3 miles long, 3.5, but we have more technically roads and more miles within the actual rock, because it's been obviously tunnelled, been excavated, and got loads of tunnels during great sieges and all the rest. What they'll do is they'd kind of dig tunnels into the rock of Gibraltar and then place cannons kind of at the end. So you'd be approaching Gibraltar on ship, and then we'll just all kind of shoot at you as you approached.
Do you know, for many a time...
Why we're so strategically important in that time, at least.
I think even now, I've suggested, actually, Jane Southall, good morning, by the way. Welcome to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition.
Good morning.
Director of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society and ace contributor and indeed general leader, let us face this, you are il presidente when it comes to the Lincolnshire Event Centre. Congratulations on a fantastic countryside links.
Oh, it was great.
It was even more wonderful than I was expecting, and that was pretty high. So great stuff from that point of view. None of the Midweek Drive vets actually turned up, because obviously they were celebrating 18th birthday parties for sisters. What can I say? However, the point that Gabriella was actually raising there, a key thing. Have you considered Lincolnshire Agricultural Society possibly, as you're travelling down the A15, having strategically placed cannons which could actually sort of take out, you know, possible visitors? You know, just a thought there. Has it been...
No, that's not one that's been suggested before, Alex.
Well, there you go. I just bullied out from that sort of point of view. As ever, Gabrielle, you might have actually worked that through. So that's a good reason. And I love the way she actually said, you know, Moorish castles, that's not to be confused with, obviously, it's very tasty. You know, you have one castle, you have another. You just can't have it. It's actually after the Moors. You know, very, very critical for that point. We might get some headphones for the team as well. However, Gabriella, as well as obviously celebrating Her Majesty the Queen's birthday, you'll be pleased to know that we can now say Mary Dancy is in the studio. So would you like to actually deliver that particular piece we worked on, well, starting about 3 a.m. this morning, really?
Happy birthday.
Oh, fantastic. You know, the perfection and the delivery. She held it back, the tension.
It was
outrageous. If you want some live stuff, Hannah is already prepped. Not now, Hannah, just calm down. But you've obviously got, you know, things that you're going to do as the show proceeds. Jane, equally, you know, very impressed to actually be sharing a young lady's 21st somewhere in this sort of week. A bit like the Queen Mary has two official birthdays.
Yes.
And yourself.
We have to celebrate 21 a lot, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You do, exactly. That's fantastic. Emma Tinson's arrived. You see, Gabriella, you know, they hear you on air. They hear Frodo, and it's like a siren call, no pun intended, across the airwaves to actually say, let's get ourselves sorted from that point of view. We also have to give a mention to our colleagues at the Yorkshire area, the Great Yorkshire Showground, because today is the first day, Jane Southall, of the Harrogate North of England Society Spring Flower Show. Mm. And we will be going there on Saturday to cover a range of things. We would sort of package a variety of other bits and pieces. You're cordially invited to join us if you wish. We have a press pass for you all set, but think about it.
I'm actually going away this week. You are? On a walking holiday.
Oh, you? Walking,
and it's Yorkshire. Is it in Yorkshire?
Well, no, you're not too far away from Harrogate.
No, I want to walk and then drink wine to relax.
That sounds
amazing. And that didn't include a flower show. Sorry.
I can tell you now that Nick Smith, the show director, will be devastated because we've got 300 years of Capability Brown, we've got 400 years of Shakespeare, we've got a whole heap of other things that are happening there, and we wish them well because it's great stuff. Because as we say, the Lincolnshire Agricultural Society, fantastic stuff, but also what happens at the Harrogate Showground is equally wonderful. Although it has to be pointed out that the NEHS simply actually rent the show, sort of the area for that particular area.
It's
a separate sort of thing. But I thought I'd let you peruse through that, because I know we got heaps of other things to talk about with your good self and what's happening as far as Lincoln is actually concerned. Have you ever been to Gibraltar, by the way?
No, I haven't.
Did what Gabriella was saying there?
Yeah, it sounds really interesting.
Yes.
I think we should take Siren FM there and
Review a location
at midweek drive from Gibraltar.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, the water in Gibraltar don't taste like wet water. I've worked on these kind of things.
That's one for every occasion, Alex, honestly.
Very critical that we work our way through that. Claire, as you were... you were second here this morning. What the heck? Anyway, would you like to actually bowl those last two questions to Gabriella Peralta from Gibraltar, please?
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, Gabriella?
Yes, thank you.
Good. And I hope you are joining us again soon, will you?
Hopefully in a fortnight.
Very nice.
Frodo has obviously kept very quiet. Has he gone back to sleep, or have you just knocked him unconscious?
He's asleep.
He's sulking.
He woke up for a little bit when the phone rang, but he's gone back to sleep again.
He's sorted our way through on that sort of basis. Excellent stuff. Okay, well, coming up very shortly, we have a pre-rec from Richard Fitzwilliams. That means pre-record from that perspective, with a special mention for, indeed, Mary Dancy. But if you're thinking, look, okay, it's all right if you happen to be Queen of England currently. It's all right if you happen to be Mary Dancy and celebrate a couple of birthdays of the week. What if you haven't? Well, this is for you.
For me?
For you. Now blow the candle out, my dear, and make your wish come true.
A merry, merry birthday to you.
Now, as noted, today is a very, very special day in terms of birthday celebrations, because indeed it is Mary Dancy's official birthday. And it's also Her Majesty the Queen's official birthday. And accordingly, because he's so brushed off his feet with so many calls from CNN, from Al Jazeera and so on, we've had to do a little pre-rec 24 hours earlier with the legend that is Richard Fitzwilliams. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Alex.
So this whole majestic aspect here, I mean, we've been celebrating clearly in the studio, but on the 21st of April, 1926... a new human being emerged who 90 years later would still be part of that new Elizabethan age. In fact, it's after her that we are actually the new Elizabethans.
Well, I have to say that it's important, as you raise the point, to mention that, of course, at the time of her birth, no one thought that one day she would be queen. I mean, this, of course, leads us to... the extraordinary role that her father, the Duke of York, later George VI, played, especially as a symbol of resistance with the Queen Elizabeth during the war. And I mean, there's no question that she is simply, I would say the word, a phenomenon. And interesting that a phenomenon who has basically... rather simple taste. Someone who, if she hadn't been queen, would have, I think, been very happy to be a countrywoman. She loves horses and dogs, as we know, and indeed, we also know that she is an expert, a world expert on all things equine. What is extraordinary, though, is so many of us cherish the memories of meeting with the Queen, and it's Andrew Marr explored this in part of his documentary on the monarch, as to exactly how it's part of the, what I still use this phrase, mystique of monarchy, because there is something very, very special. It's a fine art when you're meeting a very large number of people. You know that that meeting is a memory they will cherish all their lives. And how do you make it special? How do you make them feel that there's something, you know, that you're interested in what they have to say, whatever it is, and what you say to them and so forth. And it is quite extraordinary how she has managed this, pioneering the walkabout, breaking every record, of course, our oldest monarch, our longest reigning monarch, our most travelled monarch. But it's not for statistics that we will only remember her. We are also, of course, indelibly, and I think everybody, because even Republicans, and I mean, it's interesting, in the last Ipsos Mori poll just a few days ago, only 12% of the population wanted an executive president, and only 17% wanted...
But Richard, we could actually have Kim Kardashian as our official monarch if we wish to actually have a republic. I mean, that's the unofficial American royal family, surely.
What I'm basically saying is that the dedication to duty, the extraordinary sagacity which so many have paid tribute to, the fact that she has this deep religious faith in a country that is increasingly less and less religious, but the fact also that there is this commitment to duty and service. People know she won't let them down, and they are...
Let's move on. Long before the evil Queen Ravenna was thought vanquished by Snow White's blade, she watched silently as her sister Freya suffered a heartbreaking betrayal and fled their kingdom. It could almost be Princess Margaret all over again. Oh, no, it couldn't. Could it be the touching of knees with William and Kate? No, it's a fictitious world called The Huntsman, which is the first of the two movies you're going to review for us this morning.
Well, yes, because I didn't see Snow White and the Huntsman, and this is the prequel, and that was extremely popular and very well reviewed, and this has not been so popular and certainly has not been well reviewed. It's directed by Cedric Nicholas Trojan, which is not a name to conjure with, and probably won't be if he makes films of this sort. It's actually not that bad, but it's how to Hollywoodize a fairy story. And I mean, as you say, the sorceress Ravenna learns that her younger sister Freya is carrying the child of the Duke, and what happens? The Duke kills the child. Now, why could that be? And Freya builds herself an ice palace in the north, trains an army of children, and makes them into killers to destroy all those who are against her. The trouble is when Eric, played by Chris Hemsworth, who has never been able to act and most certainly cannot...
He is Thor, the God of Thunder. Shall say that again. Christopher Hemsworth, Thor, the God of Thunder. You don't have to act when you're a God of Thunder.
No, exactly, you don't, and that's what's so painful here. And there's Sarah, played by Jessica Chastain, and I yield to no one in my admiration for her, but she has a very strange Scottish accent. It's really rather off-putting, I have to say. But they fall in love, so Freya divides them with a wall of ice. I mean, that's what happens on Siren, doesn't it, when, you know, there's any hanky-panky in the studio?
Richard, we keep our pankies firmly in our hankies, and we keep completely away from that sort of perspective, and I can't believe you're even going there. And unbelievable, outrageous, on a birthday show as well.
Yes, exactly. And so it's a lot of this movie is about the quest for a magic mirror, and it involves a couple of dwarves, foul-mouthed dwarves too. The goblins are guarding it, and the mirror turns out to be a form of Ravenna, and then we get all sorts of duels and battles, and it's all totally unconvincing and a load of nonsense, but it's not that bad if you're in a very tolerant mood, and you really do have to be, to put up with Chris Hemsworth,
Richard, Richard, you'll be saying next that Henry Cavill is a bit wooden as Superman, the Man of Steel.
No, I never said that. The role was played with enormous depth and sensitivity. Actually, you've just made the perfect comparison.
That is absolutely spot on.
And what, I mean, he was like a block of wood or cement could have done better.
And what better way than we're talking about great acting performances as we're about to celebrate William Shakespeare's birth as well from that point of view. So it all fits together. That's the important thing.
Doesn't it just? I mean, no, actually, that is the comparison that, funnily enough, was floating around in my mind. So you, mind reading at the distance is becoming somewhat worrying, I have to say. But no, I mean, this is a movie. If you go to the sort of thing, it's rather like Maleficent, really. I mean, it's good fun in bits, but my goodness me, it's pretty heavy going. It's not meant to be subtle. But, and some of the special effects are quite fun, actually. The goblins and weird creatures that appear and so forth. I have to say, why not go and see Emily Blunt riding a polar bear now?
Splendid. It's worth it for that. You've sold it to me. Fantastic.
Yes, that's awesome. Hilda Swinton riding a similar animal, I think it was the Golden Compass.
Exactly.
Comes to mind. But I mean, the point with this movie is it would have been so much more enjoyable if they had been a bit more subtle, and they really do lay it on. But
that's Cedric for you. That's what happens, you see.
And we've got, we've got Emily Blunt, and we've got Charlize Theron as the
Wicked Queen. Exactly.
Ravenna.
Yes.
Well, yes, yes, I suppose.
Yeah. Right,
we've got Emily Blunt. Sorry, we've got Charlize Theron and. We have Charlize Theron as the sorceress Rowena, and we have Emily Blunt as Freya. There's a lot to love in both of them, but not particularly in these roles, I have to say, because they're not given any chance to act.
We will find out what the Madrid drivers think about your review and whether or not they'll be tempted to go and see The Huntsman after we've wrapped up our next little segment, which for me has actually already won an award for the most lovey-packed, possibly almost best entry into Private Eye's Sood's Corner line from The Guardian review, who actually used the phrase a crime drama packed with epiphanic grandeur. That's a crime drama packed with epiphanic grandeur. I will indeed. A crime drama packed with epiphanic grandeur, as in epiphany, as in epiphanic and epiphanic grandeur. And that's clearly what The Guardian is all about, you see. A little bit of education. It won the Palme d'Or.
It is pushing language to levels which really isn't necessary.
It's the Queen's birthday. If we can't do it now, when can we use epiphanic?
Well, it's true, I suppose. I mean, they use what terms you feel to spread the word, the D-pan, by director Jacques Audiard, who's known as the French Martin Scorsese by some. It won the Palme d'Or at Cannes. Now, I do have to say, he's a director I admire tremendously. The Beat, My Heart Skipped, A Prophet. Oh, that's a wonderful film. I mean, Rust and Bone, I mean, that was just as good. This is a good film. It's a very fine film, but it is not as good as his earlier films, in my view. And not only in my view. I know The Guardian raved about it. I read its review.
Financial Times, on the other hand, said it's quietly powerful.
That is a much better description of it. And I would also make the point that Audiard uses Jesus Thaisan, Anthony Thaisan. He plays Deepan, who's the central character, one of three Tamil refugees who travel from the war-ravaged Sri Lanka to France, where they hope to rebuild their lives and find themselves in a different sort of conflict zone. The interesting thing about it is that he came from a similar background and also fought in the war. And then he's had a very troubled life subsequently. He has been in one film. He gives a remarkable performance here. And also, as his, in inverted commas, wife, because it's made up with forged documents. Also playing his supposed wife, because this is not a real family, but one that's that gets into France. The particular message of this film is about tolerance, about migration, giving migrants a name. She's played by Kelly Awasi, his supposed wife. This is a film which is a plea for toleration of migrants and also gives them a name and gives them an identity. She is Kalia Sawari Sirinivasan, and she is absolutely excellent because she gets a job whilst Deepan is a caretaker. She gets a job caring for the ailing father of a local gangster. He becomes attracted to her. And you are about to see, what happens when a warrior goes into a zone which there's further conflict. He still has certain characteristics when he was fighting in the Civil War.
Well, if you're a Tamil Tiger child soldier, then clearly these things will happen, perhaps.
It is an amazing history. It is a very powerful film. I do have to say it is somewhat flawed and climactically most certainly.
Is it not epiphanic, Richard?
My preference was for A Prophet as Audier's finest film, and Rust and Bone was absolutely brilliant. Remember Marion Cotillard and that? I mean, she was just amazing. So, I mean, it is visually...
Ultimate acid test, Richard.
And I was very, very impressed with the flashbacks to the Sri Lankan scenes and the fact that it's an interesting film, but is it worthy of the Palme d'Or?
Would it have been improved by the inclusion in some role that possibly director Jacques Audier could have found for Christopher Hemsworth? Would it have actually improved the movie?
There is no need to bring horror into a tale full of horror, which actually had good actors. Oh. I mean, the point is, you've got an interesting cast. It's a film, obviously, in my opinion, the judges were influenced by, firstly, what the film's message was, as I say, a message of toleration and migration being a particularly big issue, as we all know, in Europe currently. I mean, this is a story which links to that, but also it's excellent acting, visually brilliant, and there's a tension that builds through the movie because of the different relationships between the characters and those they meet. But turn a warrior into a caretaker and then place him in an environment where there is a great deal of conflict. And no spoilers from me, but this is a powerful movie.
It's a crime drama packed with epiphanic grandeur.
Yes, and I would say a very fine film, but not Audier's best. And there have been many who believe that the Palme d'Or was given to him for his body of work, as you could argue that Scorsese won it for The Departed for his body of work when he won the Oscar, finally.
But it is Peter Bradshaw's film of the week in The Guardian. I just raised that. He also used the term epiphanic. And I challenge you, Richard, if in one of your items with respect to the numerous stations that you'll be commenting on today with Her Majesty's birthday, if you can squeeze in the word epiphanic, I think it'll be very impressed.
I don't, actually.
No.
If you start inventing words like that, or you perhaps the word exists. The word exists because Peter Bradshaw uses it.
There we are.
Talk in that way, and you will talk yourself out of some of the various spots you might be lucky enough to get, as well you know. But no, Deepan is a serious movie with an important message. A movie that is indeed good, but worth the honour given to it. There are many who believe that it is a form of a prize for the fact that he's made some wonderful movies. This is the least wonderful, I have to say, for me.
So kind of two movies which are not necessarily getting full thumbs up this week. Thankfully, of course.
I wouldn't equate them now. That should be cut.
Look, I don't know. We're running this as live, Richard. You know, these things
work
our way through the process tremendously. Moving on, two final things. Two final things to actually wrap up with. First of all, I know you'd be keen to actually wish our very own Londoner, Mary Dancy, a happy birthday. I think it is her 21st.
Certainly, I do. A very happy birthday.
Nicely done. And secondly, actually, there are three things, effectively. In fact, technically five, because there's still two last questions. Quick question for your good self. I think I kind of know the answer to this, but why, if the listener is wondering about this, why does the Queen have two birthdays, the natural birthday and then the official birthday? Why is that?
Well, because the reason that the Queen has two birthdays, I mean, the British monarch does, it dates from the tradition. since Edward VII, whose birthday was in the winter, and he thought it would be rather good to
have an official birthday in the summer. Some summer celebrations, exactly so. And finally, the touching of knees. Wasn't it wonderful to see the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge touching knees in a recreation? It was all over the Sunday newspapers. You couldn't move. You had the Telegraph, you had the Times, you had the tabloids. They were there, of course, doing their trip overseas, and that must have been a sort of nice romantic moment, which paves the way, I'm sure, for lots of docudramas to come in years that will be following.
Well, I would hope that if there are movies made of the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge's current situation, that they are better than that which Naomi Watts made most memorably and most infamously.
Well,
Diana, but I do have to say it was a wonderful trip. I mean, to be serious for a moment, it was extremely impressive because there was the diplomatic side to it, there was the charitable side, there was the side which linked to cultural links, there was the sporting side. We saw some of that with hiking and playing cricket and even trying archery, which I thought was hilarious. And of course, there was a side that's...
And the insults that Prince William had to cope with as far as the translation was concerned.
Oh,
with
yeah,
respect
no, that
to
was
the
very
exactly.
Also, the serious...
It was almost as though they'd based it on one of these Richard Fitzwilliam's Alex Lefchuk Thursday morning reviews, honestly.
Almost at that level, yes, I have to say. They were very amusing when they were translated. It's a serious side to this trip where they paid homage to Indian soldiers who'd died in the service of Britain in the First World War, or indeed the victims of the 2008 Mumbai atrocity, and also to the memory of the Mahatma. And I was fascinated to see the photographs of them and the film of them with the King and Queen of Bhutan, who, I mean, they are the Wills and Kate of the East.
And that's where we must leave it with that particular line and notion. It's been epiphanic. Have you had a reasonably interesting, if not epiphanic, telephonic link with us on the programme today, Richard Fitzwilliams?
I most certainly have.
And I take it you'll be back live, possibly next Thursday, for the first Richard Fitzwilliams... No, actually, it's not. It's going to be the last list of Richard Fitzwilliams piece of April 2016.
Yes, well, I shall also be reporting on my trip to Paris.
Well, there you go, you see. And did we edit some? Did we not edit some? Well, that's just for myself and Mr. Computer to know. And Richard, of course, presumably. Moving on, let's just do a quick survey of the Midrick Drive-Ads. The Huntsman. Jane, would you go and see it? No. Tessa?
I'm not really sure. I think if I found some time, I would.
Yeah,
but
okay.
It's not one I...
Claire?
Definitely.
Definitely yes for you. Yeah, well, you would have stood up for Chris Hemsworth. When
obviously.
Mary Dance?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Not even, all right. Okay, maybe taking not. Richard's side as he wished you a happy birthday. Fair enough. Hannah?
I might do. I didn't overly enjoy the first one, so I'm not sure. I may just watch it just to see, because you never know.
You don't really. Emma?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I didn't see the first one and the trailer. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. And Deepan? Would you go and see Deepan?
Maybe. I've seen a few like posters for it, but I haven't seen the trailer yet.
Okay, so. Hannah?
I don't know. I haven't seen the trailer for that one yet.
Okay, Mary?
Give it a try.
We could have screened the trailer, obviously, whilst he was playing, but they were having such a good chat. I thought, it's like a breakfast show club here. You know, what the hey? Richard's in the background, you know, his stuff. Marvellous. Claire?
Yeah, I think I would.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and
I also haven't seen the trailer, so I'm not sure.
Of course, Richard's not a trailer fan, you see. And Jane?
No, I haven't seen the trailer either. Sorry.
Coming up, we will be focusing on the excitements. Some things that can be revealed, some things that can't be revealed, some things that can be merely hinted at by our director of the Lincolnshire Agricultural Show, Jane Southall. Because, yes, we are approaching the wonderful joys of the 2016 Lincolnshire County Show.
Yes.
Which is a truly wonderful experience. And we have to also give hats off as well to Countryside Link's very own Rosie Crust, because I didn't have a chance to speak to her on the day. I thought she was just ignoring me as she walked past several times. I thought, no, it's all right. Seeing Rosie when Countryside Link's is actually taking place is a bit like seeing one of those Tasmanian devils spinning around.
Yeah. What a good image. She'll be happy with that.
I think she could probably she would probably relate.
Exactly.
I don't think she's been called a devil before. But,
yeah. There are some very cute Tasmanian devils, and you know it adds to the whole sort of quality. So great stuff there, and fine job, obviously, the whole team, because it was the second Countryside Links that you actually held.
Yeah.
And again, as an event itself, it's growing.
It is, yeah, and we've already had a debrief meeting. I just said in year one, and it rained all day, we got about 1,000 peak visitors. This year we had 3,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're already looking at how we can extend it.
Exactly,
and
it will continue. It'll be the official start of the show season.
It will, yeah.
Take that, Adrian Johnson. Sorry, we love it. We just need to return our phone calls these days. We don't know what's happening down there.
Yeah, right,
okay. Of course, the Nottingham County show will be taking place again fairly soon.
May, isn't it?
Yeah. See, we don't have that. It's etched in our minds, rather like the Lincolnshire County show, which of course takes place on which day in June, Claire?
The 24th.
Yeah, and?
22nd and 23rd.
Oh, no. Yeah, you see. Turn up for the 24th. It's gone.
My brain is dead.
Show ceased to be.
And
it'll be
all
22nd, 23rd.
It wouldn't cost you much to get in on the 24th.
Happiness.
It's
all right.
Don't worry about it.
Claire, invest in time machines on a regular basis.
Yeah,
it's the way forward. Quick, roll the cinematic reel.
Once I was 3 years old, will I think the world is cold, or will I have a lot of children who can bore me? Soon I'll be 60 years old. Soon I'll be 60 years old, will I think the world is cold, or will I have a lot of children who can bore me? Soon I'll be 60 years old. Once I was 7 years old, Mama told me, go make yourself some friends or you'll be lonely. Once I was 7 years old. Once I was 7 years old.
And relax. I know, Mary, as well as celebrating your birthday this week, and it's coming very soon, we will have the Hannah Brand presentation. Very, very soon, actually. You thought that actually sort of Hannah made her debut last week is part of just, well, it's another sort of wonderful song now, the intrinsic part of the whole sort of sequence. Again, planned this for a long, long time. But I know that one of the things which was passing your mind was, goodness, what's going to happen Tuesday night? Newcastle United play Manchester City. How, you know, and there could be a disaster, there could be a breakdown in communications.
Yeah.
Could be all
what about the weather?
Exactly. Ironically, we settled for a 1-1 draw, even though BBC Manchester commentators turned around and said that Newcastle United dragged City down to their level. Dragged them down. I'm just quoting what was said by BBC Manchester commentators. But hopefully that Newcastle man that is our regular Geordie correspondent, Ian Lennox, will say, it's all good because I know we'll thrash Liverpool over the weekend. How are you, Ian?
I'm very well, thank you. I went to the game.
Yes.
And we did not drag you down at our level. We played very well, in fact, and we should have won.
It's only...
an offside goal.
It's only a game.
And... we nearly won the last 2 minutes
let's put it beside us and let's sort of, you know, move on to that whole side.
Well, you must be really frustrated, you kind of a gloat. You've been looking forward all week to gloating at me.
How many times have United actually beaten City in the Premiership? That'd be none. Oh, never mind.
A rhetorical question, wasn't it?
It was. bit of rhetoric here. Ian, let's move on because we have the fantastic Jane Southall with us. She's been sharing some of the delights of Countryside Links. Get yourself a time machine or alternatively check out our photos on Facebook and of course go to the showground routine. And of course, Jane, they can listen to our little podcast audio postcards of the day.
Yes, they can, yes.
So, Ian. You didn't manage to get to Countryside Links. We know. We noticed that. It's all right. Neither did any of the other Midrick drivers. Actually, to be fair, Ed Wellman and Katie Dore did actually come along, but it was about midday.
Yes.
And Jane, as you know, these shows start a lot earlier.
They do.
You can't just play the organ in church and then swan along. It's just not going to work on that basis. So anyway, I think Ed's actually due to be doing some reporting with me at the Harrogate Showground over the weekend.
Right, okay.
We don't know. Emma, of course, was due to come, but in the end she just said, no, it's all right. And I know that Eva's going along. Eva decided to actually visit a sick relative or a friend in hospital. It's okay. It's all right.
How far is Harrogate from Lincoln?
That would be about 100 more, about 80 miles.
82 miles.
Yeah. Claire is. That's.
That including the roundabout, is it?
Ask Claire for the dates of the Lincolnshire show. but give her a direction from where Harrogate is to any particular place in the world or the universe. Whoosh! It's sorted. 82 English miles, of course. We won't do kilometres because, you know, we don't want to influence people on the European referendum that's coming up. It's a different line. So, yes, anyway, Jane,
yes.
Why should Ian make his way to Lincoln for matters to do with aeronautical stuff, matters to do with dancing diggers, matters to do with all sorts of things on the 22nd and 23rd of June?
Well, because it's the Lincolnshire show. Mm-hmm. It's a great event. It's an agricultural show, but it's got lots more about it than that. It's a show that celebrates what's great about Lincoln and Lincolnshire, and there's lots to do. And this year we do, and we have introduced an aviation zone because it's an aviation county.
You see, Ian, that's what's waiting for you if you can pluck up that courage to actually journey across the counties, go right the way through Yorkshire, and as a Geordie, I know that's always difficult, heading into Lincolnshire. You could always get the flight, you could get aircraft.
I'm sorry, it's just too near London for me.
Yeah, okay. Last night, Ian, such excitement. We had Jamie Porter, we had Careless Sons, we had Glitch Code, and we had In Isolation. Those are four new popular music bands, Ian, just in case you're wondering. Well, who are these?
Really?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I figure that rather than doing a reprise of Cameron Tilbury's selection, which it's fair to say possibly was a little bit slow yesterday, was it?
It was.
But we thought it's only fair to give a reprise to the winner of the official Midrick Drive Music Playoff. Emma and Mary and Tessa were all there in that sort of cauldron, the furnace-like scenario that was actually there. But of course, we didn't have the views of yourself or indeed Jane Sanathall to actually comment. And Claire Margerison was asleep, not in the studio, but...
I was going to say.
I feel like I'm asleep right now, so you know.
That's all right. Hannah hasn't actually crossed over to the Midrick Drive afternoon slot as yet. So
it's quite exciting.
It will happen one of these days,
we'll
I'm sure.
A graduation.
Yeah. Exactly. But Emma, I mean, did you feel this was a worthy winner? Now you've had a few hours to think about it.
I did. This was the one that I gave the highest mark for. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it. It's kind of an upbeat pop rock tune. It kind of reminded us a bit of The Killers or something like that. Mm-hmm. And we all really liked it. So,
Tessa, you'd echo those sentiments, presumably?
Yeah, definitely. I thought it was a good song.
Yeah, I gave it for the whole thing. It could almost be sort of summed up as Newcastle watching Newcastle United in the title, of course. Can you remember the title, Mary?
Something again.
Don't make me do this again.
Careless Sons. Unanswered question. Ian Lennox, what would you die for? No, what did you make of Don't Make Me Do This Again with Careless Sons?
I thought it was all right. I was a bit distracted because one of the cats started running up the chimney.
There we, Careless Sons.
I think it was a coincidence. I don't think it was anything with the record.
No, I think that's what I'll put that to their agent. Of actually, Careless Sons, their music makes your cats go up a chimney. It's fantastic. Great. Jane, what did you make of the tune?
I thought that was quite catchy.
Because of course, musical expert Elton John appearing at the Lincolnshire Showground.
Yeah, Sir Elton John.
You're always good there, yeah. It would be Reg to some of us, actually.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. 61 days, 15 hours, 5 minutes and 55 seconds before the show actually opens for the Lincolnshire show.
Yeah. Soon be here.
Exactly. And, you know, that's the kind of instant routine that we appreciate. By the way, views of Hannah on Careless Sons?
I enjoyed it, yeah, I quite liked it.
And that leaves Claire.
It's massively up my street. It sounded kind of like Little Comets and Catfish in the Bottleman. It had that vibe.
I think Ian thinks you're speaking in a foreign language.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I never know whether you're talking about song titles or groups.
Exactly. That's a warning. Right, the time has come, Ian, because it's a very special day. Not only is it Her Majesty the Queen's birthday, but this week is also the day, or the week in which Mary Dancy has all been celebrating. So, if Emma would be kind enough to actually get the official presentation, which you, Ian, you're going to sort of help work with me on this one. It's a pink bag. The entire pink bag is there. It's a pink bag. Actually, a pink plastic bag, because I like to be ecologically friendly, which Hannah is now going to formally actually present.
You're going to present it with a pink bag?
Yeah.
What's got doing something the wrong?
Well done. And can we actually all
has
say?
It's got a pink face in it.
Yeah, it's got all sorts of things in there. Which I've even put in a calendar, because even though she isn't in the Midweek Drive at calendar, it means that she can always be reminded of Emma and Jane and actually
Master Harrogate.
Yes, and Harrogate as well. So you know you've got that. Exactly. So you know you've got that in print from that sort of point of view. Jane might autograph it for you.
It won't go up in value if I do, I can assure you.
So can we have a round of applause for Mary Dancy and a round of applause. Happy birthday, Mary. Astounding. 56 years of age. And very splendid stuff. So there we are, you see. So it's all good. We can put a card in as well from that point. So there we are. I noticed, Ian, you haven't wished Mary a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Mary.
Thank you so much.
You're not 56, are you?
She sounds a very young 56, but now, of course, she's indeed 94.
Still sound 56.
21.
Yeah, I know.
My life doesn't sound 56 either. It sounds 66.
It's very true. In the next part of the programme, we will be speaking to Dr. Jago Cooper, very own Indiana Jones from the Royal Geographical Society, talking about the lost kingdoms of Central America. We've got Jazz Festival organiser John Watterson talking about what he's getting up to in Beverly, amongst other things. We've also got Sarah from the band Lover. And Roxanne de Bastion from Wasteland, plus heaps of other good things, including, of course, more on the Lincolnshire show, which is now 61 days, 15 hours, and 32 seconds. Not that we're wishing our life away here, but you can actually sort of do all sorts of things there. We said the Dancing Dig is actually coming through from that point of view. What other exciting things can you sort of share with us to tease the listener? And John Wenham, of course, who's busily working on his events diary, but thinking, he always likes to turn up for the Lincolnshire show, and usually sort of has what can best be described as a wonderful countryside bevy to sort of just select on the whole.
Right, okay.
Carry on.
There's so much to say at the Lincolnshire show, really. It depends what people like. Yes, we do have the Dancing Diggers this year. We've got Broke FMX backs with the motorbike display. But we've also got an education marquee. We have lots of schools. Come, I think we've got 52 schools in the Scores Challenge.
52 schools. Wow. One for every week of the year.
And 21 of them are senior schools, because they've done something to do with seeds that have been in space, and now they've planted them to see if they plant differently to seeds that are on the ground. So there's lots of different things, really. We've obviously got the Lincolnshire Kitchen, where we've got local chefs demonstrating recipes using local produce. So that's why I sort of said it's all about Lincolnshire, isn't it, really? And we've got the livestock and the equine as well. Yeah. And you can see the tractors, and we've got a good ag lines.
Might even have some Midweek Drive out, so we're doing some interviews and things all day.
Yes. Yeah.
So, I mean, Tessa has promised us she's coming from Peterborough.
Yeah. Do you go there all day, Alex?
Sorry?
Do you go there all day?
I usually try to, unless they've scheduled something like an examiners award board meeting or something at the time. But that's by the by. Yeah, 22nd, 23rd of June, experience a true celebration of rural Lincolnshire. Actually, 2 days, almost not enough, let's face it.
You can't see everything in a day. No, you need to plan to see where you're going and what you want to do.
So, Mary, would you like to put those last two questions to Ian at this moment, now that you've actually had your official receipt of the birthday package of things?
So
a little Star Wars stuff, little SF stuff there, so bolding a few
I
things.
I love it. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Go for it.
Have you had a nice telephonic link with us today?
I have indeed, thank you very much.
Yeah, but maybe we can go over there, because you just move that microphone, sort of turn it around. That's a lot better.
Should I ask it again?
She's going to be an English graduate, she doesn't do anything.
So have you had a nice telephonic link with us today?
I have.
Okay, brilliant. And will you be joining us again next week?
I hope so.
Amazing.
I'll bring my own pink bag.
I'm sure Rafa Benitez will decide, with respect to Liverpool, well, maybe, you know, we'll just draw again.
Be nice, sir.
Yeah. Mary, Mary, you're going to...